Welcome in to the Shoe Money Podcast. Joseph White here alongside Ryan Paulson. Back at it. Three more podcasts left in the betting season. This week, prop bets, Super Bowl week. And we're here for all three starting right now. Why, Ryan?
Because Daddy still needs a new pair of shoes, and we are really running out of time now.
Running out. But look, I mean, there's always profit to be made somewhere. You just got to find it. And I mean, it's there. It's possible this week. But this is a tough week for me to make heads or tails of, both in the spread, I think, and in the fantasy slate.
It's chalk week, Joe. It's just chalk week everywhere. I'm not overthinking it this week. I don't know. I think the two best teams are the two best teams, and I think I'm just backing both of them.
So that's where I am too, and we'll start there, because I say this is a hard week to make heads or tails of. And it is, because for me, not because I don't have a strong opinion on each game or on the teams in the games, right? It's just because there's a fear factor here. So Tennessee is +7 at Kansas City. And I think Kansas City, who I've been on since the beginning of the year, like everybody was. I mean, it's not like the Kansas City Chiefs snuck up on anybody in September. But they hit a lull because of a massive amount of injuries in the middle of the season where people got off of them and went to Baltimore. And I think we're looking at a fully healthy runaway freight train in the Kansas City Chiefs with a pretty good defense. So I love laying 7 points here at home. I'm just terrified of the Titans now.
Yeah, I'm not trying to disrespect Tennessee, because they have certainly made me put my foot straight in my mouth for what seems like the entire duration this podcast has existed. So props to them. Derrick Henry looks like, I don't know. They've played every week, obviously. He looks like the best player in the playoffs right now.
Except
like
for one
guy.
Like,
how do you stop him? And Kansas City did not stop him when they played a couple of months ago back in week 10. I don't know if they can execute the same game plan here. And last week, I think the Chiefs really missed defensive lineman Chris Jones. It looks like he's going to be back this week. And if they can just limit what Derrick Henry can do, or if Kansas City can actually get out fast and put Tennessee at a really quick disadvantage, we haven't seen Tennessee have to operate from behind too much. And Tannehill has been getting by throwing for very few yards on very little passing attempts. What if they have to flip the script here? Can they actually keep this game tight?
I mean, and you say, what if they have to? I mean, the Houston Texans were spotted 24 points by the Chiefs last week. Chiefs were down 24-0 in that game. And the Texans were still playing from behind for most of it. Like all the stats and everything we want to throw out about that game. Just think of this. The Houston Texans were up 24-0 and still played from behind for the majority of that game, because the Chiefs came back and took the lead before halftime. So,
yep. I think it's important to also note that really Houston got out to that big of a lead on a couple of really fluky plays that you can't really bank on happening. It's not like they marched down the field every single drive and scored on them. They had a bomb to Kenny Stills. They had a muffed punt. They had a blocked punt returned for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like all of that was offense. So I think that's an important distinction. It could have been way more lopsided in that game.
Yeah, and so all in all, the Chiefs' defense, you know, when you take into account, you know, the 14 points that they let up, you know, seven from inside their own five because of a turnover, and seven on special teams. Chiefs defense actually played pretty well in that game, all things considered. And that offense scored on 8 straight possessions. They scored 7 straight touchdowns once they got the early jitters out. Those early jitters are gone. Now we're still at home. We're playing a Tennessee team that I don't necessarily think their defense is world beating. And Ryan Tannehill, you alluded to it, has thrown for less than 200 yards in 2 straight playoff games. He's going, if Tennessee wins this game, and in fact, I think if Tennessee covers in this game, Ryan Tannehill will have to throw for what, double in this game what he's thrown combined in his previous two?
Yeah, that would make sense to me as well. And it looks like the Patriots and Baltimore were both trying to basically concede Derrick Henry yardage so they didn't get beat quickly. And obviously, they were able to find Khalif Raymond for a big, quick touchdown. But they're going to have to do that in bunches in this game in order to keep up.
Yeah.
And because Kansas City, like you said, they scored 8 straight drives last week with Tyreek Hill barely involved at all.
Right. Right. You made a great point to me via text after the game that he only had 4 catches in that, but he was averaging 13 yards a catch. Like, he's getting chunk play. This Kansas City offense is like watching guys in fast forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all thought that the running back situation was a bit muddy. They used Damian Williams heavily and barely put any other running back on the field. And he looked great.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a concentrated offense with Williams and you have Kelce and you have Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins caught a big touchdown. You got Mecole Hardman, who can just generate speed on top of speed there. They have so many different ways. And in a conference championship game, obviously we're not going to be surprised if Andy Reid shows a couple of looks that he has not shown at all this year. And I'm with you. This is a freight train right now. And we have not believed in this Tennessee team. They have caught us by surprise when they went to Foxborough. I think a lot of people were on it, but I think ultimately it was still a surprise. Significantly more surprising that they went to Baltimore and did what they did.
Very.
Now, I'm giving them my respects. I didn't see them making it this far, but I think the train stops here for them.
Yeah, I mean, people will point out, and I'm very well aware that the argument on the other side is that Tennessee plays the type of game with Derrick Henry where you can be physical and grind the clock and have long possessions and take the ball, you know, away from this Chiefs offense. But it's not like the Chiefs need long possessions. They scored,
correct.
They scored 3 touchdowns in like, what, 3.5 minutes against Houston. And Tennessee's defense isn't significantly better than Houston's, if it's better at all. So I'm scared of Tennessee because the last 2 weeks going into New England and into Baltimore, I mean, those are legit wins, and now going into Kansas City, but I think Kansas City's a different class of team. And it, you know, Lamar, he threw up all the stats in the world, and I've been trolling all week about Lamar, and for the most part it's a joke. He's unquestionably great and the unquestioned MVP, but he did not look good in that game throwing the ball. And Pat Mahomes is deadly, and I think he will be deadly, and so I take Kansas City and I lay the points.
Yeah, I'm with you. I also love that I'm seeing a consensus -7 here. You had the hook in it, and obviously we're going to be pausing a little bit on that, but at 7 makes me feel a little bit more comfortable.
Agreed.
So I'm also on the Chiefs for sure.
All right, Green Bay -7.5 at San Francisco.
Okay, so we obviously talked about both of these matchups have been played already in this regular season. Tennessee beat the Chiefs by 3, and it was in Tennessee. Patrick Mahomes, I believe, was his second or third game back after dislocating his kneecap. Green Bay already went to San Francisco on November 24th and lost 37-8. Aaron Rodgers is a below 500 quarterback on the road.
Wow.
He is tremendous, tremendous home quarterback, especially in the playoffs. Now, obviously the narrative's there. The Niners passed over him for Alex Smith in the draft. He's going back home to where he grew up in California.
It was like 20 years ago, bro.
Green Bay, in the second half of the Seattle game, looked like they were on a backslide.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think Kyle Shanahan is still the best offensive mind remaining of these 4 coaches that are still here. So I think that they were able to beat Minnesota so handedly, and we barely saw anything from George Kittle. We barely saw anything from Emmanuel Sanders, Deebo Samuel. They can hit you in such a variety of ways, and Green Bay would prefer to run the football with Aaron Jones and then mix in Jamal Williams. And this is another situation where Aaron Rodgers are going to have to go on the road and try to beat this defense throwing the football. I'm not backing that. Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah, the Aaron Rodgers, you know, you just take Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Garoppolo, what do you think? Scares me a little bit. And that's maybe why I give it pause. But
Tevin Coleman just obliterated the Minnesota Vikings last week out of nowhere.
Yeah, out of nowhere. And we're going to get to that in the fantasy segment in a second. I still don't know how good this Green Bay team is. And that's what makes this hard to figure for me, because they're 14-3 in the season, right? With the win last week. But, I mean, the Seattle Seahawks had to struggle to beat Josh McCown, who was playing with a torn hamstring or something, right? Like a hobbled Josh McCown had a chance to beat the Seattle Seahawks. And then they go into Green Bay, and if they get a catch on a second down that's a drop, maybe Russell Wilson does Russell Wilson things, and they go beat Green Bay, who like you said, and like they showed all year, looked great for a half and then took the second half off. And so this Green Bay team on the road against that San Francisco defense, healthier than they have been the last few weeks, I mean, I don't see any reason to think this game flips. Like, you mentioned Kansas City and Tennessee. They played early in the season. Tennessee won. Okay, that was in Tennessee. You mentioned Mahomes coming back from injury. Also in the middle of that, like, Kansas City downturn because of injuries and all the stuff that was swirling around them at that time. What's the reason this thing flips? And if somebody wants to tell me that it's Aaron Rodgers being still angry 18 years later that the Niners drafted Alex Smith instead, like at what point do we have to get over draft narratives? Like, I get it when you're still in your first contract, but like when there's a cool decade plus between you and the draft, are you allowed to hold that grudge still?
I mean, it's just they always search for narratives anytime that they can. That's not going to just make an impact on why Aaron Rodgers will perform better in this game. He had 33 attempts in their early meeting this year for 104 yards.
Oh,
he didn't turn the ball over, and they only scored 8 points.
Right, what changes? What changes from that matchup to this matchup?
For me, nothing. Yeah. That's why I'm betting the Niners.
That's that, and I agree. I agree. Like, you know, it. The Packers have put together a great season in the win-loss column. I'm still not sure they're great. In fact, I don't think they are. What scares me is the way that defense performed last week, as they got after Russell Wilson. They swarmed some things. You know, they looked like a legit defense. So against Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe that who can throw some picks, who threw one last week, maybe should have had another one. That could scare me a little bit, but I trust Kyle Shanahan. I trust what my eyes tell me about the Green Bay Packers playing 60 minutes of football, and I will take San Francisco and lay the points.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, Green Bay was able to generate pressure on Seattle, but that's Pete Carroll and Brian Schottenheimer who played a horrible half of football before finally letting Russ Wilson do what he does best.
Could you imagine Kyle Shanahan with Russell Wilson?
They would have won multiple Super Bowls.
Like,
plain and simple.
I joked about this on Twitter, but like, how is it possible that Russell Wilson, who's a top five quarterback in the NFL and clearly his team's best player, is consistently his offense's like third option?
It's sad. And I ultimately think Pete Carroll is he's a good coach.
I agree.
I don't know if he's like upper echelon, but is he worthy of having that job? Yeah. Is it time for them to maybe move on from him after all this time? I'd like to see somebody different there, obviously.
I mean, he's a first ballot gum chewer. In the gum chewing Hall of Fame, first ballot.
He is the ballot.
I was going to say he might go in first. He might be the guy.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
But I can't see Green Bay keeping pace here. And like, again, are there ways that Green Bay and Tennessee can operate their optimal game plans? Sure. I'm just not backing that. I just think it's unlikely that either of them are able to control the pace of this game and keep it that close. Honestly, from a viewing perspective, I hope I'm wrong, because I'm not sure if I'm actually going to bet legitimate dollars on either of these games, but I'm backing both of the favorites for sure.
And I just like to see good games, and I'm not sure we'll get one, let alone two.
But Niners-Chiefs, That's the winner right there.
That's the Super Bowl right there. Which means it'll be Titans Packers, no doubt.
You know, I got to tell you, if Houston somehow managed to beat the Chiefs, I was here for all of the, do they play the conference championship on a Thursday night jokes? I was here for that. And that was not my joke, but I've heard it in multiple places. I've seen it on Twitter. I was here for all of them. That was great.
Should have been. That's a tape delay game right there.
Oh, so good. Oof.
Let's hold off on the music since we've got so little to do here in terms of games. We'll wrap it all up at the end and we'll just smoothly transition into the fantasy and we'll start at quarterback here where, look, I mean, do you want anybody else other than Patrick Mahomes? I guess Garoppolo at 52, but given the games Tannehill's had lately, I'm not sure. I mean, he's chasing 5,500. Let's say this. I don't want Rodgers. How's that?
Yeah, all right. Let's talk about it. I'm going to say it like this. Patrick Mahomes is the best play on the board. That's going to come to no surprise for anybody playing any contest this weekend. Agreed?
Agreed.
He's really expensive. Like, he's going to have to do what he did last week, so you have to have him. Now, what are the chances he doesn't have a score that you have to have? That's the way I'm approaching this. Mm-hmm. I'm probably building 3 to 5 teams. I'm going to play him based on how I feel with all the value. He might be my main quarterback, but look, we want to play the guys on the Chiefs and the 49ers and then pick our spots with the Titans and the Packers.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo is $2,500 cheaper than Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's interesting, obviously, because the Niners have the second highest team total on the board. Maybe they score more points than the Chiefs. Maybe it comes from Jimmy Garoppolo. That's an angle I like to take. I think I'm with you about Rodgers. I think he's my least favorite. I definitely like Tannehill because I'm expecting an increased amount of volume for sure.
You got to expect he's going to be chasing in this game. Maybe some garbage time stuff here. If I had to rank them, even given their prices, Mahomes is my first play, Jimmy G is my second play, and Tannehill's my third. And if I have a Rodgers, it's my last lineup, and for differentiation only, and even then, it's a stretch.
Yeah, I mean, if I have a team that has a couple of duds from Kansas City and Tennessee, and I originally had Garoppolo, and I think he's going to be more popular, maybe I'll pivot to Rodgers just because I know I need to be different to try to gain some ground.
Yep.
Like, that's the way I'm approaching it. It's much more game theory than actual projections or best plays or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think the chances are that the Chiefs legitimately fail here? Because they have been priced up from last week where they were way too cheap. You know, this will kind of transition to us to the other positions here. Because, like, where I'm not playing Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to bank on Damian Williams getting 2 touchdowns, right?
I mean, my current lineup has those two stacked.
Sure. I think that's a great play as well. You just fully stack the Chiefs.
Yeah, I have those two stacked with Kittle. I'm sorry, not Kittle. Kelsey and Kittle. He's also in the side. I'm going the two tight end construction here. Because
from what I use, Damian Williams, George Kittle, Travis Kelsey, far and away the three best plays on the slate.
Yeah, I think Williams is somewhat flow proof here. Because if they're up and they're running the ball, he's shown he's getting the ball. And if they're passing the ball, he's still involved and can get production out of the backfield. I mean, he had 6 targets last week in the passing game and scored a touchdown there.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think if you're fading Patrick Mahomes, you almost certainly want Damian Williams.
Mm-hmm.
You can play together, of course, passing game, of course. Everything you just said is true. It's just I think the Chiefs are almost certainly going to score plenty of points here.
What do you
do? So if not Mahomes, I think Williams is heavily involved. And if you're not using either of them, then you should be banking on Derrick Henry having a huge game.
So that was my question. What do you do with Henry here? I mean, his last 3 games are legitimately unprecedented in history. To have somebody get more than 30 or more attempts and over 180 yards in three straight games. It hasn't happened before. So he is on a historic run, and you know the gambling axiom is to bet on trends rather than against them. But at $8,700 in a game where you've got to expect Tennessee to chase, is he a pass? I mean, if you're making multiple lineups, he's not a total pass, right? We're not talking about whoever the fourth running back. We're not talking about Jeff Wilson here, the running back for the Niners, the fourth one, right? A question I'm going to get to in a second. You've got to have him somewhere if you're making multiple lineups. But if you're talking first, second, or one main lineup, I almost think he's an overlook.
If I'm building one lineup, he is not in it.
All right, I agree.
Now, the way I'll approach it, if I build five teams and I project him to be on 50% of the teams in the contest, I'll probably be underweight, so one or two teams. I'm going to have less than the field. Whatever I think the field will be at by the end of the weekend, I'll be less than that, but yeah. I'll have him in certain places where it makes sense that they win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think I would really pair him with Mahomes, because if Mahomes is having a big game, Henry is not involved in the passing game. And I think that's the most likely outcome in a build like that. So maybe on a Jimmy Garoppolo team, I would include Derrick Henry, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And then, you know, I'd get some Chiefs, but just not be overweight. So I'd rather go to the Titans passing game, which I think is really difficult in and of itself. But I mean, $8,700. I mean, he only runs the ball. He doesn't catch it, really.
Yep.
I guess he throws it now. I guess so. So $8,700. What's the score that you're like, oh man, I should have played him more? Because if he gets you 25, it's like, okay.
Yeah, no, he's got to get to 40, I think, or like above 35, I think. Even at 30, at $8,700.
I just see multiple guys that I think are cheaper that can put up the same score or better.
So when as we pivot to some of those guys, here's where the slate turns for me. Before we hit record here, you were talking about differentiation being what's going to make the money this week. And I totally agree with that. I'll add one little layer here. I think your slate this weekend, your entire weekend, could turn on whether or not you get the right San Francisco running back.
I can also agree with that.
Because it's a 6-5 and pick 'em situation between Coleman and Mostert, and I don't know. Because I would have told you it was absolutely going to be Mostert who was putting up the monster fantasy day last week, and it ended up being Coleman out of nowhere. And now I don't know. I mean, Coleman's more expensive, but you know, Coleman hadn't had a double digit week since week 12. And exploded for 25 last week. It could be either of these guys. And I don't know which one to pick.
Yeah, so obviously Tevin Coleman was not seeing the work that he ultimately ended up seeing. And we had seen Mostert go for five straight games with a touchdown and have heavy involvement. Ultimately, he came out of the game in the fourth quarter with an injury, but it looks like he's going to be all systems go for Sunday. But their prices have basically flip-flopped. Tevin Coleman, $5,700. Raheem Mostert, $4,300. I think the public will be on Coleman over Mostert, I would have to imagine.
Yep.
So that gives me some interest in Mostert, and then you get a $1,400 discount, which is, on this slate, very important.
Yeah.
So I don't love it. I think ideally I'd like to get Damian Williams and Aaron Jones. And then, as I build more lineups, maybe you take a look at Mostert, Coleman. I don't know. I don't trust this situation, so I don't want to bank on it.
You can't. And I don't necessarily trust Aaron Jones here, because I'm not sure his is the running game, you know, that the flow indicates. Right. So you want Aaron Jones pounding in, you know, running in big chunks and then pounding the ball in from inside the five. And I'm not sure you're doing that against San Francisco. In fact, past experience, be it a small sample size, says you're not. So I'm worried about Jones. In fact, here's my you know, Hail Mary punt of the slate. I've got Jamal Williams in right now at $3,800.
Makes sense. They didn't use him a whole lot last week, but they didn't really need to either.
It's just an absolute bank on at 3,800. They're behind. They're trying to throw the ball around, and maybe he catches four or five balls and you're okay. Maybe he gets into the end zone and you know, you're a genius.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I think you have to consider every angle on a slate this small, and I'll definitely have some. And it could even be as simple as Green Bay is going to try to control the game for as long as they can with Aaron Jones. He's ineffective, and they just try to give a different look with Jamal Williams. And mm-hmm. they throw him three, four, five balls, and he gets a couple of chunks, and then maybe he does get in the end zone, and there you go. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So I think the safest bets are obviously Damian Williams, Derrick Henry. I still think it's Aaron Jones. I still think they're going to give him the volume, but the efficiency with that volume is certainly going to be in question. Take your best guess with San Francisco. Definitely read what they're looking to do this week. Check on Mostert. If they think he's going to be any type of limited, then maybe you can expect Coleman to continue to see the work. And then I think you can safely not play Matt Breida.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can just leave him out of that mix. Jamal Williams, obviously. We haven't seen Deion Lewis because they haven't needed him. But if you think KC gets way out on top, maybe Deion Lewis ends up catching a few balls. But I don't think I'm building enough teams to get there. No. I'd rather go to Williams.
I agree. And that takes us to wide receiver, where, you know, there are some big names at the top that you'd obviously love to get to, but I think are hard plays. I mean, Davante Adams is going to get Richard Sherman, but they're going to be chasing, and he's the guy who gets the ball. I mean, 39, 22, 26, 26, 8, 24, 19. Those are his games since week 12. I mean, the guy is eating up targets and fantasy points here. I don't know. He's not in my main lineup right now, but you got to have some exposure to him just because he is Aaron Rodgers' guy.
Yeah, if you build a Rodgers team, I think it has to be with Adams.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I mean, obviously, I just don't know who else you're going with there. Lazard came out of last game after he collided with Aaron Jones, and he didn't really play after that. So kind of a pass there. I don't want to stack him with Jimmy Graham. I don't want to stack him with Aaron Jones.
No.
But I guess if you're building a Jimmy G Kittle stack, it makes sense to bring it back with Adams. I think that's fine. I definitely prefer Tyreek Hill for $700 cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think Kelsey, who is, let me double check that. Is he cheaper than Tyreek?
Yes.
He is $100 cheaper than Tyreek. So I think based off the fact that Kelsey went for 40 plus DraftKings last week, I think he's certainly going to be more popular than Tyreek because mm-hmm. he put up a dud. So I like flipping that back, and I way prefer Tyreek Hill.
And that, I mean, that pendulum can swing. It absolutely happens there.
Right. So again, try to get really think about where the ownership might go, you know, and maybe be a little bit different. I'm definitely going to build some Mahomes teams, maybe with both of them, probably one with each of them, something like that. But I'll have some Adams. I just prefer Tyreek, and I'll have more Tyreek at the top.
Yeah, I will just say, you mentioned Lazard in there. If he does get the full go between now and Sunday, assuming Adams draws Sherman, Lazard, I think, is interesting because he has proven to be a guy that Aaron Rodgers looks at. I mean, before, you know, obviously they didn't play in week 18, and then he got the injury last week, but he had 17 targets in weeks 16 and 17. And if Adams is shut down a little bit, I could see Lazard getting there at cheap. I mean, $4,400, but that's only if he gets the full go. And even then it's not the punt that Jamal Williams is, and having both of them in the same lineup is something I need to fix right now. But
yeah, that's definitely a really good point. Make sure you're not overexposed to a certain team that you don't want to be. That can happen.
Yeah. No doubt there.
Range, I find a lot of receivers I like, which is making it easier for me to pay up at running back and also pay up at tight end. AJ Brown's $5,200, and I know he's been a zero in the box score the last couple of weeks. I just think they need him more this week.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the passing game is going to be called on heavily in this game. I really like AJ Brown, and at a cheap price.
He was $7,400 at Foxborough. He's $5,200 at Arrowhead.
I love him in my lineup.
I mean, people were talking about the fact that he's like a legitimate top 10 wide receiver pick next year in fantasy. And like, we're getting a huge discount this week. I don't know about ownership. I'd imagine that he's going to come in pretty popular, but he's a great play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that dude, it doesn't matter who's covering him. He's explosive enough that he could take one to the house, and you already paid off that salary. And it's something that, it's only $5,200. It's not like you're spending on him to get there. And Deebo Samuel, I know they didn't need him a lot last week, but he's still $5,500. George Kittle will certainly be more popular than him again. Great mid-range play also.
Totally agree. He has proven to be a guy Jimmy trusts. I mean, his 8, 28, 16, those are his last three games played.
And then if you want to be different from there, Emmanuel Sanders, $4,900. There's just not going to be enough balls to go around to all of them. So I'd be very careful about getting too much exposure to them in one lineup.
Yep.
You know, it's not the Chiefs. I feel more comfortable getting the Chiefs going because their targets are way more consolidated. We saw Kendrick Bourne catch a touchdown. Tevin Coleman came out of nowhere. The 49ers spread the ball around way too much. The Chiefs do not. So I'm okay doing like a little bit of Sammy Watkins at $4,600.
A little bit.
Again, different way to get exposure to the Chiefs. Chief price.
Yeah, I was moving to tight end. Sorry about that. Cut you off. I mean, the two guys in the tops are dynamite plays. Even if you expect the pendulum to swing back toward Tyreek from Kelsey, I mean, it can go ahead and swing a bit. And you'll still get a great day. You could still get a great day out of Kelsey because, I mean, even if it's not 44, if it's 24, you'll certainly take it. So he or Kittle, who I would expect to have a bounce back game here, unless they just absolutely boat race Green Bay and don't need him at all. I expect the two of them to have a good game. And I'll just mention one more guy. He made me some money last week. Jonnu Smith.
Anthony Furster.
Not Ferks or Jonnu Smith. But, can I just say this? Can I just stop the podcast for 1 second and give a shout-out to the original Rhett Ellison tight end discount play of the week, Antonio Gates, officially retiring?
Shout-out.
I'm going to somehow still find a way to jam him into my lineups at $3,200 next year. I don't know if it'll be available, a write-in tight end.
He was on the Hall of Fame Drew Stanton, Larry Fitzgerald stack.
Absolutely was.
Legend. Fitz coming back for another year.
Who is?
Larry Fitz, he's back.
I missed that. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's coming back another year.
I love that. So those are my three, Kelsey, Kittle, and Jonnu. If you want to play some Jimmy Graham, fine, but I don't know how much faith you want to put in that Green Bay offense.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham's the other guy. I think if Lazard is projected to be limited, I think they could go underneath Jimmy Graham a couple more times. That would make sense to me. Especially chasing from behind, that would certainly be a logical path there. But I'll probably have lineups with Kelsey and Kittle together, just like I did last week. But honestly, the path I'm looking at right now would include Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill, not playing Travis Kelsey, playing George Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, Kelsey and Kittle were separated by $200. Now they're separated by $1,300. That's quite the discount between the two.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You feel comfortable betting that Kelsey's going to outscore Kittle here?
Yes, but not by enough to justify the price.
Yeah. I think there's many scenarios where Kittle becomes the focal point to San Francisco developing their lead. And maybe Kelsey's left in the dust like Tyreek Hill was last week. So I'm trying to concoct my lineups based on angles such as those. That makes sense to me as a build. Then you could probably fit in your AJ Brown coming back with the Mahomes and Tyreek stack. You can bring it with Damian Williams if you really like the Chiefs and you think they're going to play very well. And then your lineup starts to come together like that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I'm building this week.
Yep.
But that's it for tight end. I like Jonnu Smith as well.
Yeah, and defense, I mean, you're going to start San Francisco. Are you going to start Green Bay or Tennessee? No, you're going to start one of those other two teams, and they're separated by $200. So take whichever one works.
Yeah, for me, it's the Niners first for a little bit cheaper than the Chiefs. Then yeah. I like the Chiefs. If I'm going to play either of the teams on the road, it's going to be Green Bay, just because I think Jimmy G can turn the ball over. Like you mentioned, Green Bay did get some pressure on Russell Wilson. I doubt I get to Tennessee, but they are cheap.
Yeah, I don't know how much you want to mess around there. You know, this isn't one of those weeks where you can play an $1,800 Redskins team and be okay with 3 points and not getting 11, right? Like, the difference between the Packers and San Francisco is $500. I don't know if that's making or breaking. If it is, okay. All right, I fine. But I just think find a way to get to those other two teams.
I'm with you. They kind of make themselves this week. I'm just trying not to get too overexposed to one team on a lineup. Like, if you're going to go with the Chiefs stack, I think 3 is a perfect number, not including a defense. 4 seems like too many.
Yeah. I'm looking here. I've got 1, 2, 3 Chiefs, and then 1, 2, 3 Niners, and then one of each from the Titans and the Packers.
Yeah, that seems pretty well balanced. I might try to get off of the Niners by 1 and add it to one of the other teams. That's probably my optimal way to build a team on a short slate. That doesn't mean it always works that way. I just prefer to go balanced. I try to give myself as many past the upside as possible. I try not to jam myself just to get a 4. I'm looking for upside always.
It's the way to do it. And let's drop the music here and lock in what we've got here. Spreads and fantasy, put it all together for us on a short but hopefully profitable slate.
Yeah, I'm going to back both home teams against the spread. Chiefs -7, Niners -7.5. And instead of really keying in on the guys for fantasy, I'm going to kind of rank my priorities at each position. So for me, it's Mahomes. Then I'm going to go Garoppolo, Tannehill, and maybe Rodgers, maybe not. Pause. At running back, I prefer Damian Williams, and then Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones. Tevin Coleman and Mostert are a coin flip to me. I think I might rather go with Jamal Williams instead and just bank on a little bit more production there. At wide receiver, I prefer Tyreek to Devontae Adams. I will have both. In the mid-range, I really like A.J. Brown a lot. I do like Deebo Samuel and Emmanuel Sanders, but I will try not to get too exposed to them with having George Kittle as well or a Niners running back. And I like a little Sammy Watkins where you're not playing Hill, Williams, Kelsey, two of them. Only play two of them. That's how I'm doing that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, a couple guys we didn't mention. Corey Davis, Tajay Sharp. If you want to get different with Tennessee, I guess you could do worse, but gross. I prefer George Kittle to Travis Kelsey, but I'll play both.
Yeah.
And then in the cheaper range, I would rather have Jonnu Smith at the Chiefs, but I also like Jimmy Graham on the cheaper end. And then for defense, I prefer the Niners to the Chiefs.
Wow. Look, I tried to pause you there after quarterback just to kind of say everything you had said I totally agreed with so far. Kansas City, San Francisco, Mahomes over Jimmy G. And then there's a lot of similarity as we go down. I love Damian Williams. I like Jamal Williams here. Henry, if you can get to him in certain spaces, but you got to pick your spots there. AJ Brown, I love him at wide receiver. The high end guys, you know, 50-50 there, but I would agree with you. Probably Tyreek over Adams, who draws a tough matchup. Tight end, it's Kelsey, Kittle, and Jonnu for me, and one of the two favorites at defense. And it's easy, easy game. Easy game. Just, you know, figure all that out and make some money, right?
That's it. Just press the print button and then collect your money.
Easy game. Good luck, everybody.